sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hag.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren. With us this week is a fabulous local comic and just an all-around sweetie pie. We have Gina Harms.
Hi.
And she's wearing the greatest shirt of all time today. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
That's just such a throwback.
It's great. I saw it in a thrift store, and it has a hole in it, but I was like, I still have to buy it.
Yeah, that's fine. It's below nipple height,
exactly,
so you're fine.
If I wear a dark bra, you can't tell.
Or just be like, oh no, it's just Stone Cold's bald head that's in there.
Yeah, yes.
That'd be so funny if, like, oh, some girl took off her top, and it just, instead of two boobs, it was just two Stone Cold's heads.
What?
I love that. I don't
know. Like weird tattoos of Stone Cold.
Just his face. Like his face on one and then The Rock on the other. All the famous bald Attitude Era wrestlers.
And then what would you call motorboating in that situation?
Oh, a suplex? A bootplex? I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm not a wrestle boy.
You kind of are a wrestle boy.
It's true. We're a little bit like wrestle boys. Or girls, I guess.
I thought that your shirt was intentionally torn because it's like right near Stone Cold's hand. Like he had torn that piece out because he's trying
to break
it. Can't
be contained by a mere t-shirt.
I thought it was totally intentional for that, so I'm delighted.
Perfect.
I can't imagine what happened to all of the Attitude Era shirts that were popular when I was in junior high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's all anybody wore. Is that one, like, with the blue 316, like the Austin 316,
yes.
Like, everybody had that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rock shirt that was just his bull thing, and it was, like, him with his eyebrow, like, I'm very cool, it's me, the Rock.
And
his,
now I just
his famous saying.
I'm very cool.
I am very cool, it's me, the Rock. Now I just think about him from Moana.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, you wouldn't ever have guessed he'd become, like, a children family.
Yes,
movie
now it's,
star.
Like, now what the Rock is cooking is a very balanced meal for his wife and daughter.
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? Because it's very delicious and I use the herbs from my garden.
He has to find some way to spice up all of the, like, 48 ounces of cod he eats in a day.
Yeah.
You
oh
saw
God.
His diet? It's
yeah,
horrible.
His meal plan's insane.
It's the worst.
He just has to eat so much food because he's, like, works out, like, I don't know, 5 times a day. So he's just, like, constantly...
He just has, like, a conveyor belt of steamed fish moving into his face at all times.
His, like, cheat meals, sometimes he posts those on Instagram, and it's, like, a stack of pancakes that's, like, half as tall as I am. It's gross.
Which is relatively tall.
Yeah.
Stack of pancakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He likes, the carb days for the Rock are pretty intense. Like, his pizza's just laid out, he just, it just all goes into him.
I can't imagine having that kind of, like, furnace, like, going all the time, you know? Like, whatever his metabolism is, like, he must just feel so hungry all the time if he has to eat that much food.
Yeah.
And it's just constantly, like, burning. Like, that would be so fucking
Dude,
intense.
That's why I gained 30 pounds when I started going to the gym. It's because I was so fucking hungry.
Yeah, that's crazy how that works.
I was like, yeah, working out, I'm gonna get so lean. Like, nope, you are twice as hungry as you already were. Which was pretty fucking hungry, it turns out. Yeah. Love to eat, guys.
Yeah.
Love to eat.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I work in a market. Obviously, I like to eat.
Yeah.
What do you work in that market? No, wait, maybe don't tell us.
Well,
give me subtle hints.
Oh, I make coffee.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. There's a couple coffee places.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Don't
look for me.
But yeah. No, like, it's crazy because eventually, like, I've only worked there for a few months,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I'm going to run into everyone I know at some point because at some point, everyone kind of
goes there.
To Granville Island.
Yeah. Like, you don't have a choice. You just, you end up there. You're like,
mm-hmm.
I got on this brightly colored tiny boat and it just took me here.
Or everyone's going to have someone come and visit this summer.
Exactly.
And so then they're going to have to show them around.
Yep.
Take them to the market and get some fish and chips and try not to get dive bombed by seagulls.
My friend James is in town with his partner, Karine. And because she hasn't, I don't think she'd been to Vancouver before. He had to take her to all of the cool tours. But she's like, I like a Granville Island. It's very pretty. She is French Canadian.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We had some friends from Portland visiting, and so just trying to figure out what they should do, and that it just comes to the top of the charts every time, where it's like, just go there because you kind of get the city and then the ocean, and then there's lots of things to eat and drink, and just you can kind of
wander. Stanley Park and Aquarium, Granville Island, and what's the third one usually? Like, I guess Spanish Banks or something like that.
Yeah, I said UBC Museum of Anthropology kind of stuff, but that's a little Earth Gallery, far off the beaten path for some.
Not a lot of tourists going to a Science World, I guess, but...
Yeah, I was gonna say Science World, but it's because, like, I have nephews, and so I'm just like, you know. Like,
also, that was the thing I was the most excited about in the universe when I was a child, is the idea of going to Science World was just, like, you could dangle that in front of me, and I would be like, that's the best day of the year for me, better than Christmas. I loved science when I was
a
kid.
You get to climb into that old hollow tree.
Yes, love the hollow tree. I am. It's unfortunate that I then had to go to high school, where it was systematically taken out of me, my enjoyment of science and mathematics and things. Pretty good. I'm like, I like writing now, maybe, I guess. That's what girls do. I have a feather pen.
It sucks.
Like Cher head and Clueless. Not like Shakespeare head. Different kind of feather pen.
I dot my I's with hearts.
Yes. Are you familiar with Philomena Kunk?
No.
No, are you?
You've told me about her, but I haven't actually watched any.
She's a satirical British presenter who presents on, like, English history and stuff like that, and she's got a very northern accent, but she comes across as posh, but when she starts talking, you realize that she has no idea what she's talking about. Like, it's a fake character, obviously, and it's played brilliantly, but she did a whole hour-long special on Shakespeare. It's like, he's not just a bald guy with a feather pen. That's not how she talks. I lost the accent for a second. I can't really do, like, a Newcastle accent, but imagine what that is, and then it's that. But she's very funny. Yes.
Speaking of Newcastle accents, just as a total tangent, there's a fucking stupid show on Netflix called 100% Hotter. Have you seen
this? Oh my god, I saw
that.
I thought, the picture I thought was one of, like, the RuPaul's Drag Race people. Oh. And it turned out to just be a woman who dresses like that.
Yeah, so they take
people. I thought it was Trixie Mattel.
They take people with, like, extreme looks and kind of give them a make under.
Oh, wow.
To make them. And at first I was just like, oh, it's gonna be mean. Like, you take a punk and make her business. Oh. But they don't. They just tone it down to keep the same elements, but not as, like, crazy looking.
Right.
The thing that I hate is that they're like, we asked the public to rate you out of 10, and then before and after. Which I think is gross.
Yeah.
But speaking of Newcastle accents, what I love is it's set in the UK and they have people from all over the UK on.
Right.
So there's been some really delightful Scottish accents and some Geordie accents and, like, all the, like, I really enjoy it.
Essex, bruv.
Yeah. So yeah. I will continue to watch that.
It looked very bad.
It's extremely bad. And the thing that I like about makeover shows is watching them do the hair and the makeup and instructing how to do it. They gloss over it completely. They give them a little tutorial and then they just reveal them. And they don't show them in a variety of outfits, just one outfit.
So, that's
not cool. They could make it so much better because the concept is, like, actually pretty okay.
Yeah. Well, like, because it reminded me of that show, like, Geordie Shore, the version of Jersey Shore. And it's like, yeah, those people are dressed, like, their hair is so big and
it's,
like,
full of secrets.
Yeah.
And they're orange. They're, like, bright orange.
Yeah.
They're so
tan.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, no, I can imagine
big,
like,
white teeth in these orange little faces.
They had, like, this extremely twinky little Scottish boy who was, like, super tiny and he had just a big bouffant hair and he mesh tank top and
like
little
Jedward?
Shorts. Maybe? Okay. I don't know. I know the concept of Jedward, but I don't
know the concept of Jedward. A twin act at Eurovision that had big hair.
Thank you. But so they eventually, like, taught him how to, like, you can dress cool. They had him in, like, jeans with, like, a nice vest and, like, a... I don't know, whatever, he looked way better, but he was so self-tanner and so much makeup, and he was just like, yeah, I just like dressing like this.
There's
and
Jedward.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's actually really awful. Their hair is so bad.
Yeah, it's not good. Okay, well, there's a picture of them with their hair actually styled.
Okay, so yeah, his hair was like that. Absolutely.
So
exactly.
Perfect. It was just like Jedward.
Yeah.
Just
like
Jedward.
Just like Jedward.
Like hanging upside down. Like,
just like Bart.
Yeah.
Just like Bart.
And then... But yeah, so then they take lots of folks. So it's not just people that are, like, alternative-y. Like, there was one girl who was like, I'm an alternative model, and this is how I, like... do makeup, but it was so extreme that it was, like, actually terrifying, and so they, like, toned her, gave her, like, more of a sleek haircut, and it's, like, then she could even transition to doing, like, other kinds of modeling, and it looked really good, but then they do have people, it's, like, this person wanted to be a flight attendant, and so she's, like, I kind of want to learn how to dress more professionally, and they're, like, kind of teaching them taste, but she showed up in, like, a lingerie bodysuit with, like, a little mini skirt that you could see, like, most of her side boob.
Nice.
And just, like, you know, six different sets of extensions.
Ding!
And please bring me some ginger ale, sexy.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. And
tastes, like, so good up here in the plane.
Yeah, super fake tanner, not really knowing how to do her foundation, so she was wearing, like, a weird shade that was, like, six shades darker than her face, so that it
looked... just looks like blackface when people do that.
But it just looked dirty and, like, green on her, like, she just didn't know how to match the tone, so they actually, like... they just made her look like a better version of herself, and they put her in this, like, pin-up, like, Joan from Mad Men dress. Because she got, like, she had, like, a banging bod.
She was stacked.
And,
rafters.
It was amazing. So, anyway, so the show's dumb, but I really like it.
Are you a reality TV person, or?
Not really. Like, I haven't really gotten to, like, Housewives or anything, but I love, like, competition shows and, like, makeover shows and stuff.
Like, where they cook the crazy thing and don't get the ice cream maker.
Yes.
I can't watch those shows. They're too intense for me.
It's so stressful.
I find them so stressful. Like, I can't even watch the Great British Bake Off.
What?
GBBO is too intense for old Katie.
Oh my god, are you fucking serious? It's the most soothing.
I hate competitions. I hate to watch people be judged. I couldn't even handle Nailed It.
Oh yeah.
The first episode was really funny though.
Yeah.
Like the woman who made the Rapunzel cake, she's just laughing so hard at her own bad cake.
Was that the one with the old lady judge with the big glasses?
Yeah.
She was fabulous.
Yeah, it's like the wedding cake maker.
Yeah, where she was just like kind
of
like
she's sort of like the Dr. Ruth of wedding cakes.
And she was just wandering around bugging people.
Yeah, exactly. She's so cute.
I'm blanking on the name of the host, Nicole, I think.
Nicole Byer,
yeah. Yeah, she is. I've always really liked her, and I've always been like, I can't wait till she's in something that will actually recognize how funny she is.
Yes.
Because I remember her from, like, Girl Code, I think, is the show. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She was very funny on that.
That was great. And Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I guess it's just called Queer Eye now.
It's not just for a straight guy.
And the first episode of the new season was a lady who was like, her son is gay and she's like a church mom.
And it was
very much like, learn how to take care of yourself, baby. Like, you take care of everybody else. And I'm just like bawling constantly.
Oh, God. I love it. I've watched like half of the first season. I was parceling them out because they're so emotional, and I'm so easily manipulated. Like, my feelings are, like, right here, like a hair's breadth beneath the surface at all times. So, of course, first episode, the guy kind of reminds me, like, if someone took my dad and removed all of his, like, natural ease with people, like, all of his, like, confidence, and took it out of him, and then just left him in a room for 10 years.
Oh.
Like, that's what that guy reminded me of. It's just, like, if my dad overgrew.
Right.
Basically. It's just, like, no maintenance for 10 years. If my mom didn't take care of my dad for 10 years,
where would he be?
And so, like, watching him and knowing that that Tom and Abby got back together and got remarried and stuff like that is very, I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea, but I like that they did it.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the future, but right now it's cute.
Right now it's fine.
Right now it's fine, but it's like, you divorced him for a reason, Abby! Maybe they fixed it.
Now they're famous, so that fixes and helps everything.
Exactly. Yes, that definitely doesn't make a relationship more difficult.
Yeah,
Beyonce and Jay-Z have had such an easy time of it.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Everything makes everything easier.
They released a new album yesterday, and I didn't hear about it till today.
Oh. Yeah, it's, I guess it's on Tidal, but no one has Tidal.
I don't have Tidal. I only have Spotify.
Yeah.
And they're don't put this on Spotify or something is like one of the lyrics. It's just like, if I cared about streams, I'd put this on Spotify.
Oh my god.
It's just like, damn. And I also think, I've only read a tiny bit of it, but there was like here are some snippets of lyrics. And there was one where I'm pretty sure Beyonce is referencing the movie Half-Baked. Where she says, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you.
Oh, nice.
To somebody on one of the on one of the songs. I was just like...
Is Beyonce a stoner?
I hope so. God. I doubt it. Or maybe she has her own kind of weed called Blue Ivy. That's a perfect name for a strain.
It is. It really is.
If any famous person has their own weed that isn't Willie Nelson, it's probably her.
Mm. Oh my god. I just, like, that just blew my mind, imagining her as a stoner. I'm just like, she doesn't seem...
No, she's too...
She's too on it. Like, too together.
But maybe she needs something to, like, shut it off every once in a while.
Right.
Because I know a lot of, like, interesting, driven people, and it's like, sometimes their brains are just always going, so then they need a vice or something to just, like, shut it off for a bit.
Yeah.
So, some people meditate, some people...
She talks about getting blasted drunk pretty often, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I just can't even imagine...
Love.
Yeah. That's, yeah, she's drunk in love.
I'm high on life.
Yeah, I don't know most of her oof, to be honest. Like, it just, I missed it. I liked the Destiny's Child when it came out, and then, then I just, like, then when she, like, started doing pop, I was like, I don't like pop music. I am cool.
Right.
I've never been cool in my fucking life. And now, of course, I'm like, pop is the best. Pass me the ABBA forever.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's not even modern pop.
You'll
it's
catch
like,
up.
Weird.
It's just now you get to discover Beyonce for the first time for yourself when you're ready for it.
Yes.
When you need it in your life.
You're so
once
lucky.
You start, yeah. Once you start really hustling, because you're on the verge of hustling, I can tell. Because
I don't know about that.
Well.
Not very hustly.
But. You're trying to, like, pitch shit. You've got some interesting life things that are maybe going to free up some more time for creativity. And once that takes off, you're going to start hustling, and then you're going to need Beyonce to guide you.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's my soundtrack to hustle. Soundtrack.
A diva is a female version of a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of her?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like I got more, like, I loved Beyonce more once I started getting more, like, I'm gonna climb this career ladder, and then it's just, like, now I need this music to pump me up so that I can go achieve some shit today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, like, a playlist of just, it's called Boss, and it's, like, Beyonce and Rihanna and, like, whatever, like, rap. I was, like, kind of into rap, and, like, I always said that I was, but I'm not, like, a hip-hop head. I'm, like, a... I don't know. I'm very white.
You don't have a collection of sneakers or
yeah,
anything
exactly.
That you're like scrubbing with a toothbrush all the time.
So
you're not a Colin Sharp.
Exactly.
Is what you're telling me. There's,
yeah.
There's inside baseball.
Yes,
for you.
That's unsurprising. Go back to episode 119. No, he was a 90.
Yeah,
episode.
Somewhere in the '90s, but he is the whitest man I've ever seen in my life.
And a very like super surprising.
Hello, I'm someone's dad, but I'm not.
Yeah.
But he loves the hip hop.
Oh yeah, like
true
hip hop.
Knows
so much about
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm like no, I like Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Perfect. Is that do you have is it a Spotify playlist?
Or no,
is it oh, okay.
Well, it was one that I made. I'm very like I have Apple Music cuz it's
ew.
Just I know it's weird. It's just easier cuz like I can have it on my laptop. It is Apple and then my phone and it just kind of syncs to it.
Right.
So it's a thing. But
it is a thing.
Their playlists aren't very good.
I was only asking because we had Marta Wesselhoff on the show a little while ago, and she told us about a Spotify playlist that she made called "Their Gaze, Deborah." Just like "Their Gaze, Deborah," and she's like, "Yeah, it's what I put on whenever I want to feel like extra queer or whatever." And it's a very good playlist,
nice.
If I may say so. It has like the gossip on it and
ooh.
Like. Perfume Genius and all other kinds of like very theatrical and like totally theater kid music, right? And I just I dig it. It's really good. So if you had it, I would add it to the list of like guests playlists because I would love to collect those. Be like, what are you listening to? Me? Again, the same ABBA record. It is a best of.
Oh yeah. I'm usually listening to T-Pain circa 2008.
just I'm on a boat. The only song you listen to.
Yeah.
But only his part.
Only his part. Yeah.
Not a man on a boat. It's a big blue watery road.
It is a great song.
It's
really
good song.
Good.
Like,
genuinely
Simon,
good.
Look at me.
It's actually very, like, perfectly written.
Yeah. Okay, so, about my week.
Oh, yeah. How
Let's
was
talk
your,
about
how
my
was your
week.
Week, Katie?
So, we definitely didn't record two episodes in a row, and this isn't me saving something for this one, but last night...
You already told them on the last episode that you were going to do this on this episode.
I did. Hopefully no one's listening to them back-to-back, because that would be funny. Hopefully they are, because then that would be funny. And it's not funny now, so that's too bad.
You wrecked it.
I ruined, like, I ruin everything. Anyway, so I was asked to host a polka party last night. I was asked to MC the first annual polka dance party at the Alpen Club on 33rd in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And so the band is Polka Time. They are comprised largely of members of my old band, the Dreadnoughts. And they don't have Kyle, but they have this guy named Mike who plays the saxophone and the clarinet. And he's fantastic.
Nice.
He's
like
super
klezmer-y style?
That was the guitar sound coming out of the clarinet in that. You know what I'm talking about, though. It is very klezmer-y. It sounded very Jewish.
Yeah.
Whenever he'd start to play it. So, yes. Yeah. And I realized, like, clarinet is the instrument that sounds the worst when someone is bad at it and the best when someone's amazing at it. And the gulf between those two things is as wide as the ocean.
I see your clarinet and I raise you the oboe, which is the next level of difficulty.
Okay, but if you fuck up on the oboe, it goes like, bwah. If you fuck up on the clarinet, it goes like, bwah.
No, if you fuck up on the oboe, it goes very bad.
Okay, what does it sound like?
High-pitched.
Really?
Squeak, because it's two reeds. And so if you fuck up exactly the right mouth embouchure...
talking about embouchure in the last episode.
If you fuck up just a little bit, it goes... Like, it's awful. It's so bad, and I'm sorry that I even had to make that noise.
Oh my god. Clarinet versus oboe.
I can't even, like, to be honest, I can't even picture either of them. I don't even know.
Clarinet is just, like, a cylinder that you put your mouth on, and then it's got a little bell on the bottom. It's got, like, a little horny bit. It's got a little horny bit, and it's black with silver keys. And an oboe... I'm thinking of a bassoon, so I have the wrong thing in
head. Oh, there you go,
That's why I thought, I was like, well, if you fuck up on the bassoon, it's just gonna sound like a big old fart.
Yeah, bassoon is totally fine. Oboe is like, it's like a thinner thing, and then it's just got one reed that just sticks out the top.
I gotta look up the oboe.
It's just like a...
Interesting.
It's terrible, but it sounds so beautiful when someone plays it well. It's like haunting. It sounds like
Looks like a clarinet.
Yeah, it sounds like a loon on a lake.
Ooh.
In that, like, haunting kind of way, you know, when you're can't... You're,
there's an oboe. It just looks like a big clarinet, really.
It's a littler clarinet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like a pipe.
Bitch.
Sorry, I'm an orchestra kid, so this is true.
I am extremely not. Yeah. I'm not at all.
I had a jam last night where our friend Graham busted out his clarinet, and then I was playing my cello at the same time, and we realized that they're exactly the same tone. So we were playing the same note together, and it sounded indistinguishable.
Tone.
And we were just like... Do we need to start a band? So I think we need to start a band.
There's the bassoon, which comedian Leah Howey plays occasionally in her stand-up sets, which
that is one of the
wild.
More complicated-looking instruments in the world.
It's a big honking thing, and you just, like, you're basically, like, sipping out of a crazy straw from the side.
Essentially. I totally digressed, and I got into, like, my ultimate snobby, alienating topic, so please go back to Polka Time.
Oh, Polka Time. So Polka Time was meant to be, like, the opposite of snobbery in some ways. It was, so
inclusive
I hosted,
dance party.
Like, Nick, the singer, is one of my closest friends. Like, we used to be in a band together, and so it was just very nice to be around all those people. Like, his mom and stepdad were there, sister was there.
Your
so it was
parents
like,
went.
My parents went, my brother and his wife went. It was, like, really a hoot. Then there was a lot of little kids. Like, they had encouraged little kids to come, and I thought, like, why would they? I thought it was just gonna all be punks. But it was totally, like, an equal distribution. There were, like, queer, weird punks. There were some that were very vaguely possibly white supremacists that I was a little bit concerned about, because they had, like, Valhalla shit on their shirts.
Oh, wow.
But my brother is also really into Nordic shit, and he's not a white supremacist, so I'm like, maybe they're just like that.
Yeah.
Hard to say, but I wouldn't wear, like, Viking runes on myself, usually, just because I'm Swedish, but I don't want anyone to misconstrue me for a neo-Nazi. I'm careful about those kinds of things, because I'm not a neo-Nazi. I don't like neo-Nazis. Anyway,
for the record.
So let me be perfectly clear about this.
The Sea Hags podcast does not endorse neo-Nazism, or just Nazism in general. Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're new or old. They're all bad. So there was, like, little kids. There was a little two-year-old there, and I honestly thought that it was Izzy for a second, like Steve Venegas' kid, who is the cutest little toddler. But it was a very fancy little girl with her little headband and her little crinoline dress, just, like, doing the baby at a wedding thing, just toddling around the dance floor.
It sounds like a wedding party, the way
it
that
was
you...
very much like that, and it was quite cheesy, and, like, there was this little boy in a Ghostbusters t-shirt who would run around the outside of the crowd and, like, slap high fives with everybody, and I just thought to myself, the parents that brought their kids to this are smiling on themselves right now, because these kids are sleeping through the entire night at the end of it, because they are just exhausting themselves, dancing to the music. It was great, and getting to host it and be like, the funniest thing, I'm a comedian, they asked me to host this, but the funniest thing about it is how seriously Nick takes this all. He's like, it is not a joke. Polka is not funny to him. He's like, Weird Al, it's cheapening polka.
Oh my god.
Let's be, like, Walter Okasek is the king of polka, and Okasinek, I'm saying the name wrong, Rick Okasek is from The Cars, not from polka.
Yes.
Obstinak, something like that. I should check it out, because it's... Canadian and very Eastern European. So.
How about don't worry about it?
How about shut your mouth?
It's really okay.
But the reason I want to bring it up is because they actually had a guest accordionist who Austinak, who plays for him, and he was fucking unbelievable yes. at the accordion.
Cool.
Because Nick is playing the accordion for them, and he's fine at it, but he hasn't been playing it all that long.
He probably does more just, like, basic accordion things, but some people are just, like, they shred on the accordion.
Yeah, this God. Guy, he is this unassuming, kind of nerdy guy, and he just wailed, and it sounded beautiful. Like, really gorgeous.
That seems like the hardest instrument
to make sound beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy, but yeah. Oh my God, this is the greatest looking guy ever. Look at him.
Aww,
look at Walter
so
Ostenick.
He's so happy.
He's Canada's polka king.
One of the fun things that I've gotten to do in my life is play in a band with an accordion player who also ran the Accordion Noir Festival in Vancouver, which has been going on for about quite a while. I think over 10 years. Did you know that Vancouver has an accordion festival every September?
That's amazing.
They bring in people from all around the world
that
are these, like, shredder, like, these just absolute, like, champs on accordion. All kinds of different bands from all over the world. Like, just amazing shit. And we got to go play, our band got to play at the Cotati Accordion Festival in Cotati, California, which is, like, super northern California. And it was, again, accordion people from all over the world. There's, like, a dude named Duckman Doo, who plays accordion. And he wears, like, a different kind of morph suit every time. And his accordion is, like, shaped into the morph suit. With, like, spikes all over it and stuff. Like, it's just...
We've talked a lot about experimental musicians today for some reason.
Yeah, that's just on my mind.
Like, we were talking last episode about people who have created musical suits that, like, are connected to loop stations so that they can make, like, their voices change or, like effects pedals
and
stuff.
Things,
yeah. So, like... Imogen Heap, do you know who she is?
Oh, yes.
Yes, the one that does that song that is, like, the meme.
What you say?
That you love me that well. Of course you did.
That's such a good song, such a good meme.
Yeah. It made no sense on Saturday Night Live. Nobody got it when it came out.
But it's become a phenomenon.
It is such a thing now where it's just, like, dear sister. By the time you read this, I will have been shot. Then the cop will shoot me. Then the cop will shoot this guy. Then the cop gets shot by anyway.
But it's because of the OC.
I do know that.
Were they referencing the OC on SNL?
Yes.
But it felt like years later?
Yeah, it was. It was years later. I never saw the OC, and the people who watched it loved it.
Why do you love the OC? I've never watched it. I'm just getting into the Vampire Diaries now, which I think is a similar
era. I didn't.
It's a little later, I think.
Yeah, okay. The OC came out when I was, like, 12 or something, so it was just, like,
perfect
age, and I was obsessed, and I have all the seasons on DVD, and it's just, like, what I put on. Like, you know, background TV.
Okay.
I watch it all the time.
It's comforting.
Really love it. It's comforting now. And I'm like, does it hold up? Like, some of it doesn't.
It depends on how long time has passed, I feel like. Because I remember, like, I was obsessed. Obviously, I was obsessed with Buffy the Vampire Slayer when it came out. And I've tried to watch it lately and been like, nope.
It's cheesy as hell.
Well, it's not even that it's cheesy. I'm just like, wow, there's a lot of really toxic shit baked into the show.
Joss Whedon.
Joss freaking Whedon.
Your face when you said his name is exactly how my soul feels.
Turns out you can't trust a guy who calls himself King Nerd. Turns out most of them are a little bit sleazy.
We keep relearning that.
Yeah. Anybody in this circle surprised to find out that Chris Hardwick is a dickweed?
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Not a big surprise. I was like, ooh, everything you say about women sounds very performative.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like you mean those things at all. It sounds like you rehearsed that in the mirror. Was like, that sounds like something a person would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Sociopath.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So scary. And then did you read what he said after the,
Chloe's
like, in response
article?
To Chloe Dykstra's article? He was like, oh, none of this happened. We broke up because she cheated on me. I'm very hurt that she would say this to me as a future father. Yeah, it was messed the hell up.
That is
really,
so
really
like...
messed. I was like, dude, you should have talked to a lawyer first, because that is a terrible statement.
Oh, no
kidding.
Or he must have talked to a lawyer and come up with a statement.
I was
going to
say, that,
like,
seems, like, super formal and just, like...
Yeah, I mean, he is married to the heir to the Randolph Hearst's fortune, so...
That's crazy.
I just, like, I was thinking about this a lot last week, where... Was it last week? I guess, like, this week, the end of this week. Like, what does his current wife think reading that... Does she feel like, oh, those are actually parallels of things that are in my relationship? Or has he changed and grown? And then If he has, amazing. Mm-hmm. But how can you reconcile someone's past being that awful in a current thing?
I don't think.
I was wrestling with that. I'm like, I think I could if they've really demonstrated that they've done the work.
Right.
To be better than that, to have, like, learned from that and be like, oh, shit, that was really terrible. And I've done intensive therapy and I've worked through a whole bunch of stuff and I'm definitely different. Mm-hmm. But I would be kind of keeping a side eye on them all the time.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
To be like, are you just faking this whole thing or not, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I don't think I could handle it. I just wouldn't be able to, if somebody, like, legitimately trust. Was an abuser, I don't think I could trust them again.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
But, you know, abusers are different with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, they're different with the people they're not with, they're different relationship to relationship. Like, mm-hmm. I had a friend who dated a narcissist for a while, and it was incredibly toxic, and in the same amount of time, this person has been with another person, they don't seem to be having any of this kind of difficulty, but that's probably because this other person hasn't misbehaved to set off the person, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
just
think about the differential in power, because Chloe Dykstra was, like, 22 when they got together, and he was almost 40, and Lydia Hearst is older and very wealthy, so she comes into this with power. So why would he think that he could pull that shit with her? Yeah.
You can't see my face, listeners.
But I've just blown her noodle.
Yeah, you freaked my bean.
I freaked your bean! Your bean is freaked.
Anyway,
yeah. So let's maybe put that aside, but, like, that was not a big surprise to me this week.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, me too, is going too far. I'm like, no, it's not. Keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring down every hero we've ever had. That's a dude.
It's the reckoning.
Let's wreck them.
Yeah. But you were talking about Buffy and linking it to the OC.
Yes.
And so, like...
the OC, the thing. That's my favorite.
So
but can you tell me why you like it? Because I would totally go back and watch things. Is it, like, it's the serialized kind of CW drama type thing?
It was
like
their early
formula.
Okay.
It was on Fox, actually.
Oh, was it Fox?
I love it. That's the only time someone's actually me that I find that was very charming.
actually,
it was on Fox.
God, I hate
it just
myself.
Seemed like a CW show.
It did. It was, it is like a teen drama, but it's funny. There's a lot of it that's really funny, I find, and, like, I don't know, the family dynamic. One of my favorite characters is the dad, Sandy Cohen, played by Peter Gallagher.
Oh, he has the best eyebrows.
Yes.
He's a very handsome man.
Yeah, he's so lovable.
He's got he's got a face you would be like, oh, that's a face. That is a man's face.
Yeah.
Very descriptive.
That's a man's, but yeah.
But, like, as an archetypical man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I don't know, because the show's about, like, so, like, Ryan, the main character... he steals a car, but he's 16, so, like, his brother steals a car, and he's with him, so his brother's going to jail, but he doesn't go to jail, but he has nowhere to go, like, his mom's, like, an alcoholic and whatever, so this, like, insanely wealthy family, Sandy Cohen, the dad, is, like, a public defender.
Okay.
And so he takes Ryan in, and at first...
Oh, that handsome man.
Peter Gallagher.
Jesus Christ, he's in a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful.
He is, and he's like a showman. He, like, I don't know, he sings. And so, like,
in the
later seasons, like, a lot of his, like, personality comes out. And then Seth Cohen, who's Adam Brody, has, like, all the nerd and pop culture references. And I just, like, oh, I love that shit. Just, yeah, he's, like, super into comic books and stuff.
Because you lit up talking about the OC.
I know, it's, like, embarrassing.
No, it's the best. I love enthusiasm about something that is hard to defend. Like, well, not hard to defend, but it's just hard to feel proud of.
Good. Yeah. And, like, and it was, like, one of the first TV shows that had, like, popular music... Like, as the soundtrack?
Oh,
right, okay.
And that now all of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's how any of our friends who make music here make money.
Mm-hmm.
It was like their shoes. Their,
right.
their songs get put into CW shows.
Yeah.
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 Oh, cool. So, kind of the original time. Because I'm quite into a lot of the different kinds of. I guess I say CW shows as like a genre.
But you just love, like teen dramas and things.
Yeah.
They don't have to be teen, but they have to appeal to teens.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I just,
I
really like it. And, but the music, I've discovered a lot of great music that way. And, like, and finding stuff on playlists that then, like, I know now, and then you watch an older show, and it's like, that's probably where that song broke out a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's... you go and you find the song on YouTube to figure out who it is, and all these people, I'm here from this show or whatever.
Yeah. Like this comment, if you're here from the OC. Yeah.
Well, that's how I heard of, like, Imogen Heap, for example. Yeah. They use, like, a few of her songs, and so...
Nice. Yeah.
She's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's, and she has a luckier name than Imogen Poots does. That's the best British name. Come on, Imogen Poots.
It's so British.
That's quite.
It's a level up from Benedict Cumberbatch, really, almost, is. I would say.
People should talk about
that. See, but that's
more.
The same kind of name that you have, because hers is like Imogen Poots.
Right.
Gina Harms, Tom Waits, Imogen Poots.
Well, maybe I'm like having a. What is Poots?
Farts. Oh. It is like a nice little word for fart.
I like it.
Imogen Toots, basically.
Yeah, Imogen Toots.
Poots is so funny. I had a list going in my brain of, like, best Britishiest names, and that was one of them. Tuppence Middleton is another one.
Jesus Christ.
Tuppence Middleton is another one. Yeah, that's when I tweeted. I was like, oh, that takes the large and decorative crown from Benedict Cumberbatch's stupid head.
Yeah.
His ugly, weird, pinky-looking head.
Man. Okay, now I want to watch The OC.
Yay! Do it. I'll lend you the DVDs.
I don't even have a CD drive on the computer. Like, it's so, yeah.
The files are in the computer.
Oh my god. Should we take a little bit of a break and air out the studio for a sec?
Yeah, I think so.
We're back.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
So I had an idea about a question.
Oh, did you?
Just out of our conversation previously, and then if there's something else, we can go in a different direction.
Okay.
But like Ryan from the OC, so we're talking about fantasy, what would be like the fantasy lifestyle that you would want to get adopted into?
Ooh, and that's a good question.
That could be either when you were a teenager or now.
Hmm.
What kind of family would you want to adopt?
Like, or which fictional family or anything like that.
Or just like, is there a kind of lifestyle that they don't even have to be like people that
did you want to get Fresh Princed?
Yeah, like, yeah, who would Fresh Prince you? Like, you know, find a long lost relative that it turns out.
Right. Ooh, I have an answer for this.
Okay.
Oh, I have a strong answer for this for now.
Okay. But yeah, anything kind of popping up around that?
Not really, like, that's such a difficult one. I have, like, two sides, whereas, like...
Go for it. There are no limits.
Whereas there's a part of me that, especially when I was younger, because I wanted to travel, where it's like, I just want to, like, live in a van and, like, the movie Into the Wilds.
But not with you dying.
No, not that, but the couple, Catherine Keener, and I forget who the guy was.
Okay.
But even though...
I love Catherine Keener, so it doesn't matter who the guy is.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they live in this, they, like, travel around in this van, and then they, like, live in trailer parks, and then they, I don't know, it's, like, a weird community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it was, like, that was your, you
would
know,
you be homeschooled?
Yeah.
That they decided to take you under their wing, basically, and took you on all these, like, road trippy, bohemian kind of lifestyle adventure things. That's
like,
cool.
Road trip across America.
Would you live in, like, a little teardrop trailer that was coming off the back of the RV?
Oh, my
maybe?
God.
Like,
and
that would be the cutest thing. Like, just a little, like, a little... little thing for you.
Yeah.
Just a little trailer.
Yeah, just a little space.
I'm really obsessed with this teardrop trailers right now, because there were huge, like, I think they were originally made in Canada, and now there's another company that bought the molds that made them, and they're refurbing them to be, like, more energy efficient and stuff like that, and they're selling them for, like, $12,000 or something, and I mean, that's a lot. That'd be so cute to have a little trailer that was just yours.
Yeah.
With your cool adoptive camper parents.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think of, so...
They give me my space.
Yeah.
So those parents then from Into the... Or are they parents
I guess
Into the Wild?
Yeah, right? I guess that would be, like, a great thing if that happened when I was, like, a teen.
Mm-hmm. Because then you get to, like, see the world.
Yeah.
You're kind of unfettered by, like, school or rules or what. It's like, we're just going where the wind takes us.
Yeah.
Like, throw a dart at a map and that's where we're going to head to and...
Exactly.
You're learning about stuff.
Oh, no, Utah, throw it again.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Montana again. Please, yeah. Daryl, throw it again. Yeah.
So
I'd
that
be bad
was...
at that life, obviously.
I love that, but then also I'm not, like, super outdoorsy, so, like, I don't want to, like, camp and go on hikes.
So what about, like, rich travelers who take, you know, hotels or something like
yeah.
that? Or a really deluxe camper?
Yeah, like a big RV, maybe.
Yeah. Like the ones that Jean, Louise, and Tina break into in Bob's Burgers when they go camping. They like, you haven't seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay, they go camping and Bob doesn't pack anything because he's like, nature will provide, but he doesn't know how to do anything because he's stupid. And then there's like a couple like you're talking about who are like travel around and are preppers and they have all the shit in their camper and the kids just like go there and then Linda like takes their camper wine. Yeah. Just like that.
That's perfect.
Without being attacked by wasps. I can see that as, like, you know, being a 16-year-old and being like, you know, there's so much more of the world that I need to see. I'm very limited, like, living in... Even if you grew up in a city, like, still when you're a teenager, it's just like, I know that there's so much more out there, so, like, couldn't I have someone that would, like, take me around and show me the world?
Totally.
So I totally, I get that.
Yeah. Like, I grew up in Kamloops, and I just, like, couldn't wait to leave.
It's not the best. Spent a lot of summers there. Not the fave.
Oh. I'm going there in 2 days.
Fun. They have one of those Cora's breakfast places. At least. Like those. Good eggs. I don't know.
Kamloops has the best high-speed internet outside of the Lower Mainland in the whole British Columbia.
I thought that was Kelowna.
It is Kelowna. You're correct. I get them mixed up all the time.
Everyone does.
So sorry.
Everyone does. It's like the K name.
They're pretty far apart, though, aren't they? They're not super close together.
The 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah,
I guess that is.
I just watched a documentary yesterday about the Faroe Islands. Are you familiar? It's the islands that are north of the Shetlands, above Scotland.
Oh. So in between... Not the Orkneys, but...
No, not the Orkneys, no, the Faroe Islands, which are, it's almost like, they speak Faroese there, which is like a cross between Danish and English, kind of. It's not really either, it's its own thing. And there are 50 or 60,000 people who live in the Faroe Islands. There's 18 islands, and they all are connected by tunnels, like, for the sake of equality, and they have massive,
what?
Like...
Sorry, that's the coolest shit I've ever heard.
They have the most, fastest broadband access... Like through cell networks, basically you can go 80 miles out into the ocean and still have like wireless coverage.
Ooh, dang!
Which is so cool. And it was just like, you know how Halifax looks so like beautiful and like everything is like cute colors and fish boats and all that kind of stuff. It's like that. It's like the sort of Norwegian style of house building, where they're just bright colors and they're simple construction, but
You can see them from the shore.
But their tech is really advanced there, and they have like really robust governance and stuff. They're like self-governed, but they're a Danish territory. Very interesting. Anyway, completely besides the point, but...
Your fucking wife should go there because she could still work from...
Well, yeah, but it's also pretty isolated, and I don't imagine it has a ton of, like, artistic culture because there's only 50,000 people, but apparently they have 3 newspapers and, like, 9 radio stations and stuff like that, so I'm like, what? Wow. Like, that's like, maybe 3 times the population of Salt Spring Island, I think, is living in this... Anyway, sorry, it's completely out of nowhere, but I thought it was... Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I wrote it down in my fucking bullet journal to
Faroe is how it's spelled. Anyway, cool. Yeah, so,
Okay, so you said you had 2 minds. So there was the 16-year-old bohemian road tripper lifestyle. What's the other pendulum? Or
I couldn't pick, like, a specific... Because I also, like, wanted to be an actor and, you know, like, wanted to go to the Oscars... Yeah. So
Goldie Hawn and Burt Reynolds adopted you or something?
Kurt Russell.
Yes. Shut up. No, but I want Goldie Hawn and Burt Reynolds.
They share you because they don't live together.
Yeah, I don't want Kurt Russell as my dad because he's too hot.
Yeah, he's too hot to be your stepdad. Yeah. Get out of here, Snake, or whatever the hell his name is from Escape from LA. Snake, I think. Yeah. Seems right. I haven't seen that movie.
But, like, some kind of famous dynasty family that would have access.
Yeah, I guess that would actually be, like,
what if the Smiths adopted you?
Oh, my God.
The Smiths.
Like, it's in Will and Jada. Oh, I was like, who? And you could be the sister to Willow and Jaden.
I'm, like, way not cool enough. Those kids
None
are,
of
like,
us are.
Crazy.
Like, smart and cool and
weird. Yeah.
They're next level, absolutely.
Right? I think, what is that? Jaden's probably, like, 20 now. I would love to smoke a joint with him.
Oh, man.
Did you watch The Get Down on
He's
Netflix?
So good in that.
He is so good in that. And there's one episode in the first season where they go to, like, into New York, and it's, like, a Andy Warhol kind of voguing party. Wow. And that was, like, the best piece of television, like, artistry that I've seen in a really long time. Because Baz Luhrmann, he does, like, chaotic, crazy crowd scenes with a dreamy, drugged-up effect.
Just a real Moulin Rouge kind of deal.
Yeah, it was very, Moulin Rouge or, like, you know, the Mercutio party scene in Romeo and Juliet, So it was extremely similar to that, and I fell in love with Jaden Smith from that. And it's that like
fucking party scene.
I gotta watch that now.
It's really good. The first season's fucking amazing. The second season was kind of like a little less, but like it's like a West Side Story kind of vibe. Like it's great, and the music is so good. I'm gonna watch it again. I've decided.
It's like that good.
You're gonna schedule it. Good. I literally am writing it down in my book right now.
That's fun. That's wonderful.
But yeah, just how like both Jaden and Willow, I guess, have this like very cool gender expression and creativity.
And their parents are really like publicly supportive of them doing that, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
They seem like a very nice family, honestly. Yeah, like they have more money than they know what to do with and are probably secret Scientologists, but other than that, I think they're great.
Yeah. Like you know, they have to have flaws.
Yes. I mean, I think any money that anyone has over $5 million is sinful, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. You were pointing.
I was just going to ask, like, maybe not even adopted into said family, but it's like, you're the quirky au pair that gets to work for the,
That would be
kind of another fantasy thing, where it's like, you get to be caught up in their lifestyle and you're traveling with them everywhere.
Like Neil Patrick Harris and David Burtka's kids or something like that.
Yeah, oh my god. That would be perfect.
I feel like they would be really annoying, though.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is annoying.
Weird tangent, like, I just saw his, like, Twitter.
Said about Rachel Bloom, or...
That?
Yeah.
But then also, like, that made me, like, click on his Twitter, and he just, like, his bio was like, my birthday is this day, please send gifts to this address, and he's freaking tweeting, just like, I want this for my birthday, and I want this for my birthday, and I'm like, his fans send him gifts, and I was like, that's weird.
Are you like, what? He was so cool for, like, a minute, and now it's like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have resurrected Doogie's career.
Yeah.
He's a very talented man. He's a great singer. He's a very good actor, but...
Oh, yeah.
But seems like a bit of a dick. Did you hear what he said about Rachel Bloom?
No, Bloom is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Rachel
Bloom.
Yeah,
she was doing the backstage hosting at the Tonys, and she was just wearing, an outfit with a top hat. She's wearing, like, a Stephen Sondheim t-shirt that she had custom made.
Yeah.
And a top hat, and I guess she said, or oh my god, or too many times for him.
Oh, so off with that already.
He, like, posted in the voice of his, said, like, Gideon asked me, who is this lady in the top hat asking, and so she replies to him, like, I'm a big fan of yours. We've met several times. My husband wrote on your show for 5 years.
Oh my god.
And actually wrote the episode where your character meets his father for the first time.
Wow.
And he replies,
like, one of the most impactful, like...
And he replied back with, oh, my mistake. Like, didn't even apologize.
No,
basically,
yeah.
Which is just so, like...
He just kind of said, like, oh, well then. Like,
yeah,
it was just like, oof.
I was just like... Rachel Bloom is going to be my best friend. No, not, you're still my best friend. But Rachel Bloom is going to be my new best friend.
Like, I did actually feel a little...
She's so cool, though. She's so cool.
Also really cool.
Yes, you are. But you didn't release a song called Fuck Me, Ray Bradbury.
I could. I write music.
Could you write... What other sci-fi author could you write about having sex with other than Ray Bradbury, since that one's already been done?
Ursula K. Le Guin.
Ursula Le Guin, won't you please put it in?
I mean, now you're writing the song. So, like, what else am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, William Gibson, let's fuck, please.
Octavia Butler.
Oh, yeah,
she
died.
Is she kind of sci-fi?
So is Ursula Le Guin is dead, also. So
oh, do they have to be living people?
Ray Bradbury was alive at the time she wrote that song, and apparently he did see the video and thought it was very funny. He was, like, 93 at the time.
That's great.
Are you familiar with the song? It goes, fuck me, Ray Bradbury, the greatest sci-fi writer in history, and it's just all about how horny she is for this writer of books. He was a very old man when the song came out.
That is goddamn delightful.
That's awesome.
Neil Patrick Harris, boo.
Yes.
Yeah, like, boo, like, all these, yeah, whenever someone, it's like, oh, they're just so nice and, like, so cool and fun, and it's like, there's something, goddammit.
It turns out most men are just dicks. Some women are terrible, but I don't know very many of them.
A lot of white women still suck balls. not in that way. Wait, some of us do.
Some of us do.
No, you're but, right. But I meant in the bad way, being bad,
not in the nice bad way of people. Like,
it's
thank
the inter-
you. Thank you for sucking my balls.
It's the intersectionality piece. Anyway, blah blah. We don't need to get into that. But we know we've got lots of work to do. And we
glitter
need to,
really sticks.
We need to call in our own people.
Just reapplying your glitter.
This is a special custom glitter blend that my friends made for their relationship commitment ceremony that blends their two aesthetics.
You know
together.
We have friends that have relationship commitment ceremonies.
What a custom glitter blend. So at Queer Brunch after party that we did today, everyone was wearing the glitter at the party. It was very good. So.
Oh, I love it. I was not great. Invited, but I think it's good. These are people I know, but not as well. So.
Yes, there were only 10 of us, so it was a tiny thing.
I'm not angry. I'm never mad at someone for not inviting me to their wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. Never upset.
So to go back to the question, so you wanted to be an actor, and what is kind of the inside access that you would want from this whatever family adopted you into their, like, fame?
Yeah, I don't know,
Dougie,
I guess.
Will you get me a pot, please?
Yeah. I don't know what the end game, just to, like, meet celebrity, just to be around that at that time, like, I don't know.
It seems so exciting.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a completely different lifestyle.
Than Kamloops.
Exactly, than I know. And, yeah, I'm not
what about
really
now?
Sure.
What about now? Who do you want to kidnap you now and be your parents?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, I keep hitting your knee with my knee. I'm not trying to flirt. A little bit.
Stop. Ooh.
Can I say who I want to adopt me?
Yes.
Okay.
I want Enya to adopt me.
Oh, with her castle.
I want to live in her Irish castle with her 10 cats with her. And I want to wake up every morning to her going, sail away, sail away, sail away.
I wonder what she's like for real. Like, if she lives kind of all by herself in this thing, do you
I'd
think
see her in the castle and she'd go, ooh, and then run away.
So
that'd be so
funny. It would be like you're living in your own castle.
And
because
that she was haunted by the ghost of Enya.
Oh my god.
Oh, I like that.
She'd be like, this soda bread in the kitchen, farewell. So Enya, I think, is who I would like to be in a lifestyle with, is to live in her castle, and then I would get some beehives in the backyard and get some raised bed gardens going.
Nice.
And just basically be like, oh, Enya, have you had enough to eat today? And she'd be like, I've eaten a song.
Oh my god, you could be Enya's caretaker. Speaking of au pair, like, you're the move-in, live-in caretaker for Enya.
Yes.
Right.
Who is, like, in her later years, ailing, but not in a devastating way, just in a glamorous way. Like, she's
yes.
got...
I'm just thinking, like, right now, I'm like, I don't think she's very old. I don't even think she's more than 55.
She actually just, like, wants the company.
She has some mysterious, like...
I'm trying to think of who else is reclusive. Like, maybe Kate Bush, but I heard that she's really conservative. So I was like, I don't want to live with Kate Bush.
What do you know about Enya and, like, her personal life or anything?
Zilch.
Yeah,
she
Zilch.
Is not open about
Super
it, which is
private.
Why I was like, she's going to be on the other side of the castle. I'll be on this side, and we'll eat at either end of a very long dining table every night. And I'll be like, Enya, Enya, please pass the salt. And then an old, decrepit butler will pick it up and take it over to me. And I'll be like, oh, wait, I don't want this. Take it back. And I'll make him walk it all the way back there.
But then it's an inside joke between you and Enya because you're both trying to torment the butler. And that's
the game
that you
play. Because we just hate him for no reason. And we want him.
It's because he came with the castle.
He's a ghost also.
Yeah, he's also a ghost.
Also, the butler's a ghost in this.
Okay, yes, and the butler's a ghost.
Okay, why not? Who do you need to adopt you, Chris?
Andy Samberg and Joanna Newsom.
Oh, I love it.
Because then I would get the best of both worlds. Yes. I'd get to go be in the chill sort of comedy scene with all the podcast people
oh,
that
this
I like.
Is a good
and all
answer. I'm so
thank
mad.
Thank you. And then, and then Joanna Newsom with the weird classical weird shit that I do. Like, I would
like
totally...
a queen's apple ripe.
I would be their au pair. I would look after their nice children.
Well,
and
they have kids now.
I think she has one... Yeah, she just had a baby recently or something.
Yeah, two kids, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't actually know their life. But don't they have that,
you
like...
You should if you're going to move in with them.
Don't they have that house that they bought
Charlie
from someone...
Chaplin.
Glamorous.
It was Charlie Chaplin's old house.
And it's, like, ooh, incredibly, like, orientalist or whatever. Like, it's Moroccan.
It's very racist,
style, like,
but it's pretty.
But it's... I really like that aesthetic so much.
Nice.
It's like you're living in a Spanish grotto, like, that was Moroccan-inspired through, like, the Crusades
Moorish,
or whatever.
A Moorish Spanish.
It is Moorish, and I hate that.
You know, right. More or less.
Katie.
Get out, Katie!
Leave! But having that kind of, like, beautiful architecture around, it's so eccentric, and for two kind of seemingly down-to-earth people in this weird, eccentric house,
yeah,
I kind of dig that a lot. It's kind cool. of ostentatious and just strange. And then I would like to be the one that Joanna Newsom, she's, like, starting to write something and wants to bounce some ideas off of me. So then I would, like, then I would jump in with my cello and I'd be able to jam along with her improvising and then we'd find, like, the next thing. And then I would stop being their nanny and I would be her full-time collaborator.
Yeah.
That's and then really I would still live there in their pool house or something.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's, in the OC, Ryan lived in their pool house.
Nice.
In the OC, Ryan lived in their pool house.
It all came back around, yeah, yeah. And I really like that a lot.
I did think of something that's kind of, like, maybe a medium between my two teenage ones.
I really appreciate the, like, full glamour versus, like, bohemian, like, yeah, road tripping. Yeah, because
we're very interested in the balance of
I've
life.
I've always had that. But I thought of, so, I think I'd want to constantly be on tour with Florence Welch.
That's a great choice.
I literally got goosebumps.
I saw a clip of her at Lollapalooza, and there was a storm, and it's, like, lightning and thunder, and she's just, like, oh, she's just so, like, ethereal, and I was, like, this seems like a magical experience. Like,
I saw her live. She played here 2 years ago, I think. She was excellent.
But
I
just, yeah, flowing sheer gowns and just hair and limbs, like... Yeah.
She's incredibly physically fit, is one thing I noticed, is that she was wearing a white suit instead of big dresses. It was like a white pantsuit. And she ran throughout the entire concert. She was running from one end of the stage to the other. She ran up a catwalk.
Oh my God.
She didn't stop running, and she never sounded out of breath. So I was
just like, and her voice.
I was like, this bitch. She's so, and she's weird looking. Like, her, when you really, like, get a look at her face, you're like, oh, she is an odd looking person who is also beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
But she's not conventionally. Like, she's not like, I'm trying to think of who is conventionally beautiful, like a Hadid or something like that.
Right. Jennifer Aniston is my reference. Oh, immediately.
Yeah. She's like the crispest 8.5 a person can ever be, basically, is Jennifer Aniston.
We're talking half. You bitch. Everyone's a 10. Everyone is a 10,
but if it's legitimately a 1 to 10 scale, yeah, and they're at 10 is the hottest you can be, she's an 8.5,
sure,
right? Who's 10? I don't know. They have to be really, like,
Iman.
Iman is a 10.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Iman's a 10.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
I mean, like,
yeah.
I guess.
I was like, who could it be? You were like, Iman. I was like, oh, yeah.
Supermodels.
But also supermodels who are in their 60s who still look amazing.
Yeah.
She's maybe so like in the past, if David Bowie and Iman could adopt me, that would have been a lifestyle.
Oh my God. Wow. If adopt me 10 years ago and I could be like, hey, get your liver checked out.
Oh my God, what if you could time travel with the knowledge that you know now and you get adopted into their life?
And yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah, and that's what I do. I would 100% do that. And then, I don't know, I would look after their kid 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I would have been old enough to do that.
Yeah. I would like to time travel back into the sort of, like, Andy Warhol-y scene or whatever and just see, like,
ooh, there's a good question for now or the future that I'm going to write down, because we're going to probably end up reusing questions here and there.
Sure.
But,
everyone's going to
have
a different
answer. But mine is, like, you can time travel for, like, either 24 hours or, like, 5 days or something. Like, where would you go in history for, like, a short period of time where you can come back? You can't affect any major changes, but you can travel back in time to observe something. Like, what would you want to see? Because for me, I would be like, first thing I'm doing is going to the Hammersmith Odeon in 1973 and seeing fucking Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Nice.
That is a thing I would want to do. I would love to see David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust live, like, in the past.
That would be cool.
And then I would just be doing, like, bumps of cocaine off of somebody's long nail in the crowd.
Yeah,
and I would be
back when cocaine was still good.
I'd be like, this cocaine doesn't have any fentanyl in it. Also, I don't know what cocaine feels like because I've never done it. Because I'm a comedian, so I can't. Because if I did, I would do it.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
I would time travel back to, like, Weimar era Germany to, like, 20s, like, after World War One, before World War Two. I know that there was fascism brewing and a lot of bad shit, but there was...
So is there now, so...
And there's just as much, like, queer commingling now as there was then, like, uh-oh, shit. Oh, shit, it's a loop. Oh, no, we're stuck in a loop.
It turns out history... It repeats itself, folks.
Oh, just a little bit
of history repeating.
Ow! Ew! But I would go back then, and I would get a really nice short haircut, and I would kiss a lot of people.
Would you go to Le Monocle in Paris? Maybe the first lesbian nightclub?
I mean, sure.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, it was actually earlier than the 20s, and that was, like, a big thing. It was, like, lesbians had monocles. That was like, does she wear a monocle?
That was like a symbol?
Yeah, I like how gay men in England wore green carnations. Because Oscar Wilde wore green carnations.
It's like it's like hanky code, but like way classier than having
if
a hanky.
If only Justin O'Hearn was here, he could tell us all about this. Yeah. Like, what are all the secret queer things?
Bring him back and tell us all of those things, and then let's wear them out to a party one day.
He's a doctor now. Guys, he's a doctor now. Nice. He's a doctor of pornography.
Can you think just kind of the first thing that comes up around like time travel era that you'd like to go observe?
I would love to observe like royal, like Queen Elizabeth. I don't even know.
Like the first Queen one, Elizabeth. Shakespeare Times one, or like current one?
Yeah, yeah.
With the bald guy with the feather pen?
Shakespeare Times Elizabeth or Corgi's Elizabeth?
Shakespeare Times
Elizabeth. Lead makeup, black teeth times?
Yeah, yeah. Just to see that, just to like,
how smell
people
it.
Lived.
You'd be like, let's go home. Yeah. It smells like shit.
Everywhere.
Like, no, like literal shit. Like, not just like vaguely like shit, but like actual shit from poop.
That we're walking through and our dresses are getting stuck in. And stuff. But to be like a...
You can go to the Globe Theater.
Ooh, oh, wow. That's a way
you better
answer.
You heckle boys in dresses.
And throw rotten fruit at people and stuff like that.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But I was thinking not the Globe Theater, but one of the private performances that Queen Elizabeth got from a Shakespeare troupe in the palace. Oh. And to be able to, like, be one of the... I'm just... Like, you kind of go and you figure out, like, Outlander style, you make your own outfit and you go back, and, like, and you sit there and you're dressed as, like, a page or something like that.
Wait. If we could go back in time, could we go back into fictional time and have sex with Jamie Fraser?
Just asking. Just go to Scotland now, dude.
I'm only straight for that guy. Just kidding. More than that. Yeah. Just, but he's so hot.
Go to Scotland now. There's a lot of guys that look like
have
that. And
you seen his butt?
They love Canadian girls because Canadian girls are so bold.
Oh. Are we bold?
So we're much bolder than Scottish women, apparently. Like, Scottish straight women are quite reserved still, apparently, and so Scottish men really enjoy, if you can keep up the banter, and then they will just...
You love that bant.
Yeah. So I hear. I did live in Scotland for a while.
And they loved your boldness there.
Yes, so that's a thing. So just go to Scotland now. You don't have to time travel to fuck a Jamie Fraser. If that's what
you'll
really
find
want.
One.
That's what he looks like.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sam Heughan.
He's alright, eh? He's pretty good, eh?
I do like the Scottish accent.
Man. Here's a gif.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, rewatch Outlander is also I have a lot of
take
TV.
Take me to Lolly, bro.
I have a lot of TV to rewatch now after this particular episode.
Oh, I forgot that scene is where they're like tying him to a thing to flog him.
It's not great.
It's a horrifying scene, but it's also it starts out real sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of like gross torture porn in that show. It's
fucking goes through it, my guys. He goes through it. The guy gets his ass handed to him.
Anyway, digression.
Oh, there's his butt. It's on Pinterest. Not bad. Pretty good. Oh, wow. Someone made a collage.
Oh, my God.
A butt collage?
Okay, this is not good audio.
Ah, it is a butt collage.
It's a butt collage. That's nice for them. Cool.
It's a derriere colletage.
Fuck collage. Off. You tried so hard with that one.
I really did. I put it together. What's décolletage but the butt cleavage? It is derriere colletage. Like, that's gotta be.
Does he have the you know how sometimes women have, like, the dimples on their lower back that are not, they're not, apparently cellulite doesn't count. But those little back dumps are pretty cute.
Yeah. Okay, now are we just getting, like, warm and horny? We're at an hour.
Why don't we just end it on the, let's end it on one horny question. One very horny question. Let's see. What historical figure is the hottest? I don't know. Who is it? JFK was cute.
Oh, yeah. But, like, a terrible human.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, anybody who's ever been the president is probably a bad person.
Okay, yeah. Fair.
I'm not, like, a history buff at all.
No, me neither.
I can't really think because...
That's not true, I am.
The further you go back in time, the kind of actually grosser people were, and so I don't know what I would...
Okay, well, then I can only really think of men from, like, the 30s or later, basically. Well, let's just say Cary Grant.
I guess
call
that's
it
history.
Fucking day.
Okay, fair enough. Gina, thank you. That was really fun.
Where are you at? You have anything to promo? This is coming out next week.
No,
you don't have any big shows coming up?
No.
I'm around. look for Gina Harms.
Exactly.
Do you have social media that is a public thing that you promote stuff on that you can share with people?
Yes.
And that we will link to?
My Twitter is just my name, Gina Harms. And then my Instagram is kind of my name, but it's the letters. It's Gina Harms. Yeah. I didn't need to describe that.
I like that. Gina Harms it makes me laugh every time I see it.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Nice. Great. Oh, most excellent.
Fabulous.
Katie, do you have anything that's coming out in this?
Actually, I will be, when I'm back from Portland, I'm doing the Foxhole on, I think, the 26th or the 27th. It's a Wednesday. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I just always like, well, I'll probably be at the Foxhole once a month till it's done.
Yeah.
And also, but this is far away, I'll mention it later, but in August, on August 8th, I'm competing in the Yuck Off, and I would like to, I would really like to go through one round at least. I don't care about winning, but I would love to bypass the audience selection round. I would like to be judged by an actual judge jury.
Okay. Yes. So that means we need to get the fam out to
movie through. Yes. Be out here. Case. I don't want to think that I'm someone who needs to do that, but I'm like, I don't ask for people to come out to stuff much anymore.
Baby, I'll help you stack that deck.
Love it.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything coming up except folks that live in East Vancouver, there's a consultation on a housing project that you should go to and support it. It's on the 26th of June, and I don't know where it is. This is an extremely helpful PSA, but they want to build a detox center and housing project in East Van, and there's a lot of community opposition to it, because...
Fuck off, NIMBYs.
Yeah, literally, people are like, commercial drive, it's great that it's diverse, but it's diverse enough, so we don't need that, and so I really want people to come to this and say, hey, yes, we support people in recovery, and we need this, so...
Yeah. It's not like it's going to be any more disruptive than people who are already on the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about instead of people sleeping on the street in doorways, they have a place to, like, live inside... I mean, that would be kind of okay.
Right.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The whole none in my backyard thing sucks.
Yeah.
And it's like, guess what? They have to be somewhere. Yeah. We're people and we live in a fucking society.
Yeah. So June 26th, 6 o'clock. I'm not sure where, BC Housing website, etc. I'm also going to go see Robert Plant next week, which I'm very excited about. So, anyway, my plug is for Robert Plant. Have you heard of him? Tickets are sold out.
So, fuck you.
I'm going to Allie and AJ tomorrow.
Oh my god, that one of those chicks is in My Zombie.
Yeah.
AJ, I think. Or no, it's Allie.
It's Allie.
Think. She's very beautiful. She's probably in 9. Okay, we're good. Bye.